Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, Lord.
God, we worship you tonight. God, we lift up our hands to you tonight. Come on, somebody, just talk to him. He's a worthy God. Hallelujah.
We would give you the highest praise on today. Welcome, welcome to the Women of Wisdom and Powers broadcast on tonight, the Roundtable discussion panel. I am your host for the night, Prophetess Latoya Douglas, and I would like to give honor to the apostle of this ministry, Apostle Daniel Carter, the senior pastor of this ministry, Pastor Felicia Dotson, and the associate pastor. We thank you for joining us on tonight. We bless the Lord for you. We honor the sacrifice that you have made to join us on this broadcast tonight. To our panelists, we love you and we thank God that you are here. We thank God right now for some knowledge and revelation and even the understanding that will pour forth from you tonight. Again, I thank you for joining us tonight on Women of Wisdom and Power's broadcast. Thank you for joining us, whether you are in prison, whether you are in rehab, whether you're tuning in on. We thank God for you being here. We thank God for the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, the prophets, the evangelists, the ministers, the workers of the kingdom for being here tonight. I thank you that on tonight you've joined us. Tomorrow night we have our overflow ministry that will go forth. On Thursday night, we will have the School of the Prophets. On Monday night, we have our Staying on Purpose broadcast. And you joined us Tuesday night for the Women of Wisdom and Powers broadcast. And again, we thank you for being here. If you would like to connect with us, please do so at faithambassadors@gmail.com. If you would like to have information, you can email us at that email. And if you want more information about the vision and what this ministry does, you can go to our website, faithambassadors247.com. I am going to open now with prayer. I've gotten a little bit before myself. Going to open with prayer and scripture, and then we will get right into our panel discussion. We're not going to be before you long tonight, and we're going to allow God to minister. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercies that are new today. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be in your presence and not be consumed. Lord, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ for your love. Forgive us of anything that we have said, that we have thought, that we have did, that we have even acted upon that was not like you, Lord. As we come, Lord, accepting your forgiveness and we repent humbly, oh God, and thank you right now that you have forgiven us. And as far as the east is from the west, you remember our sins no more. Lord God, I thank you for the broadcast. I pray over the lives, oh God. I pray over every listener. I pray over their ears, Lord, that they would hear what you are saying through the panelists, God. I thank you right now that as your word goes forth, it prospers the very thing that it is sent to, and it accomplishes what you will to do in the listeners' lives, oh God. I thank you for every man, woman, and child that would listen to this broadcast now and even at the replay. I thank you for every household that is represented by every listener and every panelist right now, Lord. I apply the blood of Jesus right now over every household. And Father, your word says that where the blood is, the enemy cannot go. We thank you, Father, that the blood is being applied over their doorposts right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would show us your glory. We thank you for your presence here with us. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So on tonight, I'm going to read from, and this is actually our topic for tonight. I'm going to read from 1 Colossians 1, and I'm going to read verse 28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. On tonight, we are going to be talking about maturity in the kingdom and in relationships. relationships, maturity in the kingdom of God and in relationships. Because as we mature in Christ, we exhibit more of Christ in our relationships. So as we move forward, I'm not going to prolong the time in bringing forth the panelists. I'm going to get right into our questions. And the very first question that I want to ask on tonight is my notepad. I got two notepads here that I've been taking notes on. Amen. Hallelujah. God, we bless you. We thank you for maturity, oh God. The very first question that I want to ask is, can you be rebuked? And this is to our panelists, and I want to ask them this. Can you be rebuked? And I'm going to give the definition of a rebuke for those that don't know what a rebuke is or have some type of understanding but really don't know. A rebuke is to express sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their action or behaviors. Remember that word, sharp. To express sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their actions or behaviors. So we're talking about maturity tonight. And as we mature, we have to be able to receive the things that God sends to us through people. And one of those things is a rebuke. We have to be able to receive a rebuke. So that's the very first question we're going to answer. And I would like for Evangelist Fowler to answer that question first. Can you be rebuked?
We should be able to be rebuked. However, depending on our level of maturity, and where we are in Christ, it depends on how we act or respond to that rebuke. The correct thing to do is to respond in love and prayer and say, Lord, if there's any truth in this, please help me to accept this and change. If there's not any truth in this sharp rebuke, I pray you help me to disregard and move forward in love and pray for the person who gave the strong rebuke. And I think there's sometimes people come with a strong rebuke and they may think the Lord has told them to, and it may be their own flesh feelings coming out, and sometimes it comes out in their perceived way of, per se, quote-unquote, prophecy, and really they're trying to send a message from their personal feelings. So that's why the word says discern and weigh the spirit. When you receive a word, pray over it. You know, get God's guidance on it, because just because someone gives a strong rebuke does not necessarily mean it's from the Lord. It very well could be. If it, then as mature believers, we should be able to receive that rebuke. And most of the time, I believe that the Lord, when he gives a sharp rebuke, he does it in love. He doesn't do it in a ruthless way of meanness or, you know, something like that. He does it in love to where it can be received if it's from the Lord. So you have to weigh the spirit and be in tune in a sense to say, okay, that may sting a little that they even think that if it's not from the Lord, you know, and processing that. But at the same time, we have to bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, even if it's from their person, if I'm offending my brother in some way, help me to see how to either remedy that, change it, or help your love to flow through so that their eyes can see the truth.
Amen.
Does that make sense? So
yes,
that's
yes.
My purpose.
Amen. Amen. So now I pose the question to you again, and I believe it's a simple yes or no concerning and what level of maturity you're at, can you be rebuked?
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Can. And I try my best to say it and pray over it and receive it as such so that I can change and make the changes needed so that I can be in right standing with God, whether it's from the right spirit or not the right spirit. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, I believe
yes.
I can.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. The next person that I would like to ask answer that question would be Minister Simmons. Can you answer that question for us? Can you be rebuked? And we're talking about maturity and the levels of maturity we go through in our relationship. And one of them is being able to be rebuked. So Minister Simmons, can you be rebuked now at this place?
Amen. Yes. Yes, indeed. Open rebuke is better than secret love. And when one is rebuked, it's for correction purposes, especially in ministry. When you are titled or labeled or looked upon as a leader, I see so much foolishness in the body of Christ. To whereas, you know, correction is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first heard that open rebuke is better, we can care for people or ourselves or consider ourselves to not be on the level of someone else, or they're lesser, or I'm higher, or however we look at it, that we get so far up in pride, and different things can settle in. And rebuked sometimes is necessary for us to be corrected when we're operating in pride or whatever it is. It's easy to think that we're without flaws or without sin or whatever. And many of us, we did a study on pride about a year ago. And I didn't know so many things fell in that category, you know, that we're oblivious. And, you know, when you have, you know, you can say, I rebuke that, you know, because somebody said, well, the Lord told me or God said this, and you don't receive it, or you feel like it don't apply to you. So, I rebuke that. Or, you know, I deal with a ministry that's an outreach ministry, that's a deliverance ministry. So, yeah, we see a lot of, you know, demonic activity and things that manifest. So, you know, we have to rebuke those spirits and different things. But pertaining to oneself, yes, I can be rebuked. I have been rebuked.
Amen.
I have been rebuked, but it was for correction. And
Amen.
I'm one of those people that will tell you off fast, or I don't hold my tongue all the time, or something to that effect. So when I was corrected, the reason for it was for me to, you know, operate in love like Christ did. You know, I delivered, you know, what I did in a harsh manner. And I was rebuked for it by one of the leaders, and I received it after I calmed down and thought about it, because we do. He said, with love and kindness have I drawn them. Or the, you know, so I was operating in my flesh, and I was openly rebuked. It was embarrassing for about 5 minutes, but after the fact, you know, of me trying to justify my actions, because if we're not careful, we'll justify what we're
Amen.
Doing, and I'm saying as leaders and people that, you know, have been on this walk a long while, unbeknown to ourselves, you know, we stand for correction. We stand for correction. So, yes, you know, on this walk, there's none that can't be rebuked, or our actions. There's none without actions that can't be rebuked.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There are many scriptures that talk about being rebuked and even admonishing and correcting and reproving one another. And if we can't do that, then we aren't maturing in Christ. And one of the things that I want to bring up, four key points that as I was doing a little bit of studying on this, it's our responsibility as kingdom citizens, as believers, to bring these four points and many others to the people that are in our lives or even in the body of Christ. Our main goal is to present every person mature in Christ. To present others mature in Christ means that we've got to be growing to maturity in Him. We've got to be maturing in Him to help others mature in Christ. To present every person mature in Christ, we've got to proclaim Him. So we have to be for claiming that we're in Christ. We have to make people know that I am in Christ. So there are some things in my life that are not going to be the same as before I came into the kingdom. And the last point that I have is proclaiming Christ is not just a job for pastors or full-time Christian workers, but it's for all of God's people. And as again, as we proclaim Him, we bring people to maturity in Him. So the next question that I want to ask is, and I'm going to ask Minister Simmons to come forth first, would be, what are some characteristics of a mature believer? What are some key, give me three key characteristics and elaborate on those of a mature believer or someone growing in maturity.
Well, amen. You know, it's a different level of understanding. You know, there's a lot of compassion. I didn't realize the level of love and compassion that Christ had, you know, just for my own self, all the many, many number, countless things He has protected and you know, guarded me from and saved me from and, you know, and still to date working on me. You know, the compassion comes with maturity because from the lifestyle that I had come out of, I'm sensitive to it now. When I see, I was taking my mother home, and right outside on the street there where she lives, you know, girls were posted up, you know, prostituting themselves. And just as I had decided I was going to go and park and go and talk to him, I looked back and I seen that someone else was watching him as well, and he was parked. So I didn't want the confrontation. But as I sat at the light waiting to make the left, I began to pray for them. For them. I had a sorrowful heart. I got instantly sad. Because at one point, that was me.
Wow.
I don't know if anybody ever passed by me and prayed for me, considered me, or thought about me. But with maturity comes a whole lot of compassion. The understanding comes in where, you know, when Christ drew the line in the sand. Some say He wrote, some say He just drew a line. I'm not sure, but if you without the sin, cast the first stone. So we have to understand where people are in their walk. I don't think it takes 10 years to get delivered because He said He would, Father God said He would withhold no good thing from us. So if you're serious about your walk, the things are there. But yet there's still a level of understanding that comes with the maturity because You gotta when you're dealing with other people, especially trying to win souls, with maturity, you have to have understanding because at one point we all were lost beyond, we couldn't be counted. We couldn't be counted. And, it's like the love that comes with maturity, it goes hand in hand with the compassion and the understanding because God said all souls are mine, so we can't send nobody to heaven or hell. And when we say we got to pray for real, because I heard a lot of people say, I'm just going to pray for you. And then the tone and the manner that they deliver it, I knew it was a lie. But it sounded good to say. You know, with maturity comes consistency. We got to stay consistent in what we do for the glory of God.
Jesus.
And I just want to double back quick on what I was saying about, you know, the open rebuke. I remember a point in time before CPS and all these laws, when we were children, wherever we acted up at, that is where our parent or grandma or auntie or whoever was in care of us disciplined us. Whether we were at the store, I done got whooped at school before for acting up at school. You know, it all is hand in hand. It's hand in hand. Because with maturity, we know what not to do.
Come on.
We already know what to do. And I'll close and I'll say this. I can't stand to hear the body of Christ, Christian people, leaders, pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, whatever title, whatever we're addressed as, do something, or before they do it, they'll say, God, forgive me, but. That's willful. In maturity, we know what not to do. And that's a whole nother, you know, but I hear that a lot. God, forgive me, but. So our characteristics in maturity got to reflect what we're preaching and teaching, or it's in vain. It's in vain.
Wow.
I'm looking for another word to say, but it's pointless, because our character of being a Christ and being mature in Christ has to reflect. So we have to have the compassion in maturity. We have to have the understanding in maturity. We have to have definitely the love in maturity. And, you know, it all goes together. Our characteristic must line up. Our character must line up with what we're preaching, teaching. We have to be living it. And those are key points for me for maturity.
Amen. The next person that I would like to answer the question are some characteristics to give me at least that and expound upon them is Pastor Chantel. What are some characteristics of a mature or a believer maturing? Let me say that coming into maturation, and can you expound on three of them?
Wow. Okay. Wow. Hello, everyone. I just logged on. I just came from a networking meeting, but you know, first off, I would think to be mature, you have to know that you're accountable and that you're okay with being accountable, that you're good, and that you're honest, and that because you know when somebody is really not at that level is when you say the word accountability and they cringe. A mature Christian knows that accountability will keep you safe. Will keep you where you're safe. And of course, you need to keep your circle small. Jesus had two people, you know, that he would bring with him to go and pray with. So you need actually three people. So you need to keep your circle small. Who do you trust? You know. And keep that tight. And that is who you are accountable to. Now, if you're married, one of those accountability partners is your spouse. I would say, you know, never hide anything from your spouse. And being a mature Christian is being teachable. Always learning. Not, well, I know this and I know that. A person that is mature knows that they don't know a lot of stuff. they thought they knew. But, you know, as you grow, man, let me tell you, there's a lot of things that we don't know. And so a mature Christian is not afraid to be teachable, is not afraid to learn new things. Of course, you're always discerning what that new thing is. You don't wanna go to and fro. And a mature Christian will know how to test every spirit. When the Bible talks about test every spirit, you will know how to do that and have confidence and also encourage yourself. You know, when I was a younger Christian, maybe just let's say teenage years as a Christian, I wanted a word every single time I went somewhere. I need a man, a woman of God to give me a word. And I was longing for a human to give me a word. When the Lord would shut the mouths of humans and he would say, no, I want you to come here with me. I'm consecrating you to myself. And of course I had accountability partners to make sure that, you know, I'm not deceived by some strange things, but, you know, as God consecrates us and as he speaks to us through his word, he will confirm everything through his word is the final authority, you know, that we grow and we're not always looking for the next revelation, for the next this and the next that and the next this. We come to a place where we are, I wouldn't call it comfortable. It's this relationship with the Lord that he has, you know, we've gone through the fire, refined. You know, when somebody tells me, oh, I've been a Christian for 15 years, but you know what? I haven't gone through anything. I've lived a great life. You know, my life with no issues. I would just look at them and say, okay, that's awesome. But I know that when somebody grows, they grow through fire. They grow through trials. And you know, sometimes, and do we fall? Yes. It's not when, if we fall, it's when we fall and we need to rise up. And a mature Christian, they will take their responsibility and not blame shift on others. Well, you know, the devil did it. You know, and there are times, and I have been guilty of that many of times. So I feel like I'm speaking to the choir. Sometimes I was guilty of that. Well, you know what? The enemy did this, and the enemy did that, and I refuse to take responsibility. And so at that time, I was a growing Christian. I was just, you know, within my teenage years, I like to call it, as a Christian. But as we come to maturity, people will recognize it. People will know. Mm. They will know.
Amen.
Like the Bible says, you know, don't praise yourself. Let others do that. And so you will know through others. And you're going to know if it's authentic or if they're just kind of brown nosing or they are, you know, just flattery. You're going to know. Your spirit will know. You will discern. And when you have your circle, your very close confidant, you know, telling you, you have grown immensely through by, you know, even while you're going through the storm, I've seen you make great decisions, and you said no to this, and you said yes to this, and, you know, just little steps that in your quiet time, you're like, God, you know, what is going on? Can you hear me? And the Lord is saying, yes, I can hear you. And you know, we grow and we mature in Christ. So that way we can now mentor others, and like, and the key word is love. I mean, don't even try to even do anything if you don't have the love of Christ. You know, a mature person will walk in the love of God. I'm not saying agree with everything. I'm not saying accept everything. I'm saying love the person. You can look in the person and love the person. I just came from a secular network meeting, and in the Lord led me there. It may not be for everybody, but it's there for me. I know how to, you know, you got to know how to keep the bones, and, you know, and I mean, shred out the bones and keep the meat. And when I'm around the world, I guess, and people of affluence and influence, you know, I need to know how to discern who I should do ministry with, who I should connect with. Not everybody, just because it's a secular thing, that they're not all wrong, you know. And so I have to ask the Lord, who is it, God? Because it's so in that way, He can shine His light. He can shine His light. And that soul can be saved and won through Him, you know? And that's the key. That's the key. We got to go into the world in order for Christ to rescue them. And living here in Las Vegas, you know, we have a big nightlife, and so it's very interesting, and so I work with some organizations that go into the nightlife and rescue women from sex trafficking, and rescue what they go in, and they're not They don't even worry about what they see. They go in with the love of God, and they love the women. And it takes a mature woman to do that, a mature Christian to go in and love that woman like her baby, like her daughter, you know, and say, you know, sweetie, Jesus loves you, you know, And I know you're here for the money, baby. I know you're here for the money. I know that money is luring you, but I mean, you got brains. You know, you are smart, and so it's now encouraging them and uplifting them. And will they spit in your face? Absolutely. Oh yeah, they will. Will they look at you and push you away? Absolutely. But it takes a mature Christian to say, you know what? You know, God says to love the unlovables. He said in His Gospels, He said, why love those that love you back? Love those that will not love you back. That's love. Because the world's love is they're going to love you, you know, if you love them back. I mean, they're going to, you know, it's an exchange. But what about the unlovables? What about the ones that's not going to love you? They're gonna take advantage of you. You know, what about that? The Bible is clear on that. And you know, Jesus came to serve and not to be served. So we have to, you know, and a mature Christian will know that we are servants at heart. That whatever title or position we hold, that it better be the Lord putting that on, because if it's not, and if we are self-titling ourselves, if we're giving that title to ourselves, it's a very, very dangerous place to be. So we need to of course love, you know, and encourage ourselves, because there are times where we're going to walk by ourselves. And so, of course, the Lord is always there with us. And read our Bible, not for head knowledge, but to build that relationship with the Lord, you know?
Amen.
And yes, and so I'm still learning. Let me just tell you something. I am
Amen.
Still learning. I, you
Amen.
Know,
we
I'm gonna
all
still
are.
Learn until the day I die. Yeah.
Amen. And that's the thing. The Bible says that perfection comes. It's a process that continually happens in us until the coming of Christ. And some of us may never get to perfection is continually happening in us. The next person that I want to ask the question of are some characteristics of maturity is Evangelist Rucker. Give me three characteristics of maturity and elaborate on them for me, please.
Good evening.
Hi.
I have two. Hi. I think they said more than enough, but I'll give you two that I did not necessarily hear mention. A mature Christian or a person in maturity when it comes to Christ knows how to when to speak and when not to speak. I think we're in a dispensation of time where everybody thinks keeping it real means say whatever is on your mind. And at this point, maturity will teach you that everything I think, I can't necessarily speak.
Say that again.
So,
repeat that. Repeat that.
I said maturity will teach us that everything I think, everything that comes to my mind, I should not speak. So maturity teaches
Amen.
You when to speak and when not to speak. And as believers, we know when and when not to speak certain things. Because a lot of people talk themselves out of blessings. So that's one of the ones I think we know how to control our mouth as mature women or just in general Christians. And another one is our temperament. When you're mature, everything does not bother you. You're not easily offended. You don't walk around with
Amen.
A chip on your shoulder because somebody had something to say. You know that every battle ain't your battle, regardless. You know, some people don't qualify to be your enemy, so why address everybody that has something to say about you? Why, if that makes sense to anybody? So as when maturity will teach you what battles to fight, in other words, when to get angry
Amen.
And when not to get angry. Just that temperament is critical. And I think that all of them said compassion, love, which is when you get a little older, you do deal with people. The dealings and how you handle them are a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that would be my two other than some of the ones that the ladies all already said.
Amen. Amen. My next question would be, and I would ask Evangelist Fowler to head this question up. The next question would be, what is the biggest thing that hinders maturity? What's the biggest thing that hinders maturity?
I think relying upon self is a big hindrance. Because when I was thinking of in the Word, how it talks a lot about man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. And when we rely upon our own wisdom, our own thinking, it can kind of hinder us in that maturity level. Not getting in the Word can hinder us. Not having a teachable spirit can hinder us, because in the process of, I was thinking today about this topic, and I was thinking about children and how when they're young, before they can even talk, they cry when they need something. And they don't have the maturity level of knowing how to speak yet, because they haven't grown to that level yet. So they point and cry for what they want until finally someone figures out exactly what the need is. So it's a process of elimination for the caregiver to figure, okay, are they wet? Are they hungry? Do they need a hug? Are they sleepy?
what exactly is going on. So process of elimination, you try each thing until finally, oh, they were tired. I did the diaper, I did the feeding, I did the, you know, everything else, but they were just sleepy. And so finally they fall asleep in your arms. Well, I think in the Christian walk, and they have to totally rely upon the adult to figure it out. They have to rely upon the one taking care of them. So that in that process, that caregiver can then begin to train that child and teach that child. But if that child keeps refusing, and say, for instance, they get to a little older age and the caregiver is trying to teach them how not to hurt another child, and that child consistently resists the efforts of the caregiver to show them how, and so therefore they're relying on their own way and not on the way the caregiver is trying to teach them. So in the spiritual sense, as believers, we have to rely totally upon God to teach us, but we have to have a teachable spirit. So if we're not teachable, that can really hinder. And God uses other people. He uses leaders. He uses just your friends, family, and even uses children to teach us.
Amen.
So
amen.
Be teachable, because the Bible says out of the mouth of babes come forth praise. And sometimes they can say something that we're like, oh, dear, I better fix this because, wow, they even noticed, you know, something wasn't quite right. And God mm-hmm. uses children to things, you know. He says, that's exactly what you're doing. You know, like if you're trying to correct a child on a particular issue and they're consistently refusing, the Lord will prick you and go, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm trying to show you something, you know. And so
wow.
we have to have that spirit, you know, and he's done that for me sometimes. And I work with children. There's been lots of times you'll go, okay, well, you know, I'm trying to get your attention. You need to listen. So you need to fix this so that you know, so that you can grow.
Right.
And I was thinking also of a tree. A tree doesn't grow to maturity until it starts small. But as it gets watered and nurtured, it grows strong. And then strength. A part of maturity. So if we let others sway us can in the wrong way, can be blocking our maturity.
Well.
It's be a hindrance. Like we get swayed by every wind of doctrine, or, oh, we're fickle and like, oh, we're trying to please everybody. So we
Amen.
Tend to go, oh, right, or maybe this is right. And we don't have that steadiness, you know, inside of us because we're not relying on. And so that hinders us from maturing. So there's a lot of things that can hinder us. But
Amen.
And not being humble, being proudful, like they were talking earlier, when we get pride in our heart that, well, who are they to tell me how to fix this? And who do they think they are? And we get a prideful
Amen.
Spirit. It's going to hinder our maturity level. So if we truly want to be mature Christians, we say, Lord, show me in your word and help me to just surrender everything, not just something,
Amen.
All things. And as we surrender, the Lord begins to steadily, steadily build one layer of foundation. The foundation's laid, and then everything that happens after is building upon that. So we have to really rely on the Holy Spirit. Is a major
Amen.
Thing of walking into maturity. And when we do mess up, say, Lord, I'm so sorry.
Run back to the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Did wrong. I see how, but show me how to fix it, you know? And and as we lean upon him and lean into the word and are teachable from other believers, God will bring us into that maturity. So don't give up on yourself if you're not
Amen.
Right. Think you should be right now, and you think, well, I've served the Lord all these years. I should be past this already. And why do I keep falling into this trap? Well, it's a checkpoint that we have to look
Amen.
At.
Amen. So what I hear
yourself.
You saying is self-reliance is a hindrance to
yes.
allowing God to mature us. So we must rely on the Spirit of God to help
yes.
us to mature, no matter what we're doing and no matter in what relationship. Great, great response. The next person that I want to elaborate on that question would be Minister Simmons. What is the biggest thing that hinders maturity in a believer? Give me 3 minutes of a response. We're going to kind of wind things down. We're not going to go too much longer. So give me 3 minutes of a response in what is a hindrance to maturity.
Amen. Dwelling. They have something in the military when you know, you got a brigade and, you know, something happens and two or three get killed and one survived. They call it survivor's remorse. A lot of guilt is a hindrance in maturity. Dwelling and looking back, not trusting God to be who he say he is. Not applying everything that's essential and necessary to go higher and higher and higher. I've slowed my own progression, getting to a certain level in just we'll say spiritual knowledge, and say okay, then you get stagnated, you get comfortable, you get complacent. There's a lot of things that can hinder our maturity, and again, unbeknown to ourselves, because it's almost habit, it's habitual.
Mm-hmm.
When desires and passions for knowledge in Christ, in God, are on fire and fired up, you know, we get that spurt where we'll run, and then a lot of us burn out. I've seen a lot of people burn out, you know, because they were excited, they were fired up. Another thing that will hinder maturity in saints is the actions of others. When we were talking about characteristics earlier, watching what somebody else doing, how they, you know, how many people I've seen come to church and will not come back because they were familiar with the person or a person that was in the pulpit or on the front row or labeled a pastor or a prophet or, you know, and they were like, he ain't right because I know X, Y, Z, element of P. And then they just said, if they can sit up in there, I'm not going in there, I might as well stay in the streets. So, you know, it's true. I'm an usher. I encounter some of everything that walked through the door. But it's like, you know, dwelling is one of the biggest things, and that survivor's remorse. Because when you get saved, you want your mama to get saved, your brother to get saved, your cousin to get saved, your baby daddy to get saved, your niece to get saved, your uncle to get saved. And because you'll keep, you know, you'll straddle the fence. I got enough God to almost know that I think I'm in, I'm good, but yet I can still go over here and kick it. I can still go over here and dibble and dabble and, you know, not trusting and believing God and moving forward. It's the biggest, I think, hindrance. Because if we absolutely are sold out on what we know, what he knows, we'll be good. So it's our own self. Our own self hindrance. Amen.
So self is a hindrance. And again, I believe that you and Karen kind of said the same thing but gave different analogies, that relying upon self is a hindrance to maturity in Christ. The next person that I would like to ask that question is Evangelist Rucker. What is the biggest thing that hinders maturity in a believer?
The first person that went took mine, that the first one I was going to say was being teachable. Also, that a thing that hinders believers is unbelief. And I say that being more biblical-based versus a natural thing, because I wanted to say some natural stuff, like being like people not working well with other people, and I think somebody mentioned pride, but those ladies did such a good thing with saying those, that I think I'm going to go with unbelief, because the young man, when Jesus came down from the mountain of transfiguration, he told him, he said, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. So if I have areas of unbelief, then that's still hindering my growth to get what I fully need from God, if that makes sense.
Wow.
Because that was a blockage. It was one of those things where, God, I know you're a provider, but do I really believe you're a provider? But I don't really trust you with my finances, even though I'm yelling out Jehovah Jireh every Sunday. God, I believe that you're a healer, but I really ain't fancy. I don't know if I deserve healing because I don't believe you will heal me because I've still been battling with my sickness. So that can stifle us as believers because we have areas of unbelief that we have yet to give God an surrenderance. I think giving yourself to God and trusting Him. Well, trust will definitely, and that's huge because that's spiritual and natural. Most people really don't have the ability to trust. And I think Ms. Simmons said it just in the last sentence. She was talking about how we've done so well. The sheep that when people come and they see the shepherd or who's ever in the position of shepherding, and it turns the people from God. So ourselves, we can be a hindering block to others. The Bible says,
wow.
Be mindful of like things we do because Paul said, you don't want to become a stumbling block. We get too comfortable with people and we allow them to see stuff that they shouldn't. But and that goes to our last question as well for all of our listeners, that maturity knows that you don't do any and everything around everybody. And not to say that people are doing things
Come
that
on.
Are wrong. But some stuff you just don't do. They shouldn't catch you gossiping. Why? Because that might stifle them. Because you don't necessarily have to be indulgent in a sin that we just think is just dead wrong. Talking about people, as mature people, we don't sit up and gossip and talk about people and down people gifts, and we talk in idle and bad words for it to fall on somebody else's ear and it cause them to stumble. So those are going to be my trust. Unbelief, and I think those were the two because they said pride and teachable. She took the first one because I was thinking that them unteachable spirits that will hinder you. But those are my two.
And self-reliance. Amen. The last question that I want to ask is, what tools help us best grow in maturity? We know that the Word of God is there, but there are also things that God has us outside of the word to help us grow in maturity. And I want to say this, a kind of an interjection, that offense is also a hindrance to maturity. The Bible says, take thou no offense. And sometimes people are offended with people and they don't even know that you're offended with them. They don't have any idea that you're offended with them. And it can hinder maturity in the person that's harboring the offense. Learning how not to be offended. Every day in our lives, there's going to be someone that is coming against us to try to offend us, to get us into a place of offense because of hinder us from maturity, but it brings resentment, it brings bitterness, it brings anger, it brings malice, it brings all of these other things with it. And then here we are in a place where we're supposed to have grown and we're still in the same place because we're offended. So my last question would be, what are some tools help in growing towards maturity? What are some tools that we can look to that would help us growing towards maturity? And the first person that I want to ask that question would be Pastor Chantel. Give me 2 minutes, three minutes of what tools best help in growth towards maturity.
Wow. Okay. So I just kind of want to also touch on the last question of the hindrance. You know, in Hebrews 12, verse 1, where it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, and it goes on, and it talks about, I mean, this chapter is, it's going to answer all your questions, but man, I just wanted to say that sin that easily entangles me, it's like, it's chocolate cake, pudding pie, that's it, you know, nothing that seriously easily entangles me, but for the second question, can you repeat that again, Prophetess Latoya? For the current question,
what tools help best in growth toward maturity? What are some tools that help?
Okay, the tools would be correction. A tool would be receiving correction from someone that loves us, from someone that loves you, that knows that you know. I'm not talking about a dysfunctional parent, you know, that comes in and when I'm talking about a mentor that you trust, someone that has walked alongside of you, a friend that maybe can see something that needs to be corrected. And I believe that correction is a great tool because that's how we grow. Also, and you know, I don't like to be corrected. As well as, I don't know, I wish I could say I love to be corrected. But, you know, that's where I have to learn. I have to learn that not everybody is against me. And there are people that are for me and they love me and they just want to see me grow and not be stunted. Another tool would be you know, a great friendship. I would say a great friendship with people. You know, I'm one that I know a lot of people. I have a lot of acquaintances. However, and I make a lot of my life public. But there is that small circle that will know my day to day struggle. You know, and it is very important to have someone there physically. I think that's a great tool. I know that you said besides the Bible, because we know that we can go to the Bible, worship. I mean, absolute worship and prayer. You know, when we are surrendered to Christ, 100% surrendered and just allowing God to have his way in us. That is a huge tool. I think that's something that maybe people, what that I have seen, I'm not talking about, you know, us here, but I have seen that sometimes people don't take worship seriously, you know? You know, I've been in churches where people come purposely after the worship. They don't wanna go for the worship because they know that God is going to, you know, that they just draw near to us. And with that, I think that's a tool that I know I use. I use that.
Amen.
And I have to, you know, to draw near to Christ.
Amen. Amen. The next person that would answer would be Evangelist Rucker, and then Evangelist Fowler will come behind her, and Minister Simmons will bring up the rear. And the question is, what tools help best in growth towards maturity? And sometimes we need tangible tools. We need something that we can put our hands on that can help us to grow towards maturity. So, Evangelist Rucker, give me 3 minutes of some examples that you have that would best help grow towards maturity.
As the young lady before me stated, the first one I will definitely say is find a mentor. The Bible builds up relationships. You have Elijah and Elisha. You had Moses and Joshua. You had Jesus and the 12 disciples, and each one of them imparted something. So impartation is going to be critical for your spiritual growth.
So therefore, you need to get with somebody that you trust is mature and sound in the doctrine of the gospel according to Jesus Christ. So that's first. They have to have a prayer life. That's this person you want to connect with. They have to be open and willing to accept you and don't mind pouring into you. And you should never have to pay for the services of your mentor. That should be just a thing or a partnership that they want to take on. That's number one. Number two, I would say, is get some books. Learn to love to read, because you can get some great material in some books. I suggest, if you want to be any type of leader capacity, and we all have leaders, and the Bible says that for we are all ministers, so therefore we are all leaders in our own right, and we are all leading somebody. So John C. Maxwell are some great tools. How to be an effective leader, what leadership look like. He has books that talked about what are the thoughts of a leader, how to enhance your influence as a leader. So definitely get some books that you can read, join a book club, get you an accountability partner. I've been talking to Ms. LaToya, and one of the things I want to do is start a private group where we are assigned a book a month. And we get in there and we discuss and exchange ideas to help build each other up and pull that greatness out of each other. So definitely get connected with some people, because this walk is built off relationships. One of my other things that you definitely need to do is tangible. It's okay to go to church. That faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we can't ever leave forsaking the assembly of the people. So that and that is something tangible. Even though people don't think it's tangible, going to church is a tangible thing. Going to the building itself. We know that the church is the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, but you can actually go fellowship and get your strength. Because if you get rooted with some other people that's strong and that can help you through whatever it is you're going through, that makes you stronger. Then you're covered. So the enemy don't just got you out there by itself putting all kind of thoughts in your mind. So you definitely need to get connected with a good church that teaches the Bible. And we ain't talking about condemning you to hell and making you feel guilt, hurt, and shame. We're talking about the ones that's going to love you and really nurture you into that person you need to become. So those are my three things. And, those are my three.
Those are good. Amen. Those were really good. I'm going to interject really fast before Evangelist Fowler comes forth. You mentioned books. Last week I took the liberty of just asking the Holy Spirit, asking God some questions. And as the Holy Spirit began to lead me, I was led to the bookstore. And one of the books that I have is by, you mentioned John C. Maxwell, who is a very powerful mentor in leadership and in maturity and in Christ. And I have some books by him I had not ever seen before. And I have many of his books in my collection. These books that I got at the bookstore last week, I've added to my collection. And if I tell you that the things that I'm reading are just adding to the maturity that I have, and that's our main focus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be progressively maturing. Just as an inborn, it progressively matures from age to age. And even our relationships with Christ, we progressively mature from milk to meat. And once we get to that place where we're eating meat, we begin to be able to take strong meat, and we begin to be able to excel from there. So I really appreciate that you brought up books, and that was a great example of something tangible. Evangelist Fowler, 3 minutes of what are some tools to help in growth and maturity?
One I would say is, of course, the Bible, but books, like you say, and maybe like a Strong's Concordance, where you can break it open and do word studies. the deeper meanings of what words originally meant, find just different research materials on learning more about what the scriptures were actually trying to say. There are a lot of translations, and I think a lot of them are good, but when you're trying to grow in the Lord, it's good to have a good prayer partner with you, someone you can go to and say, can you just pray with me because I'm struggling with such and such, or maybe just I feel a need that we need to just pray over a situation in our city or whatever the case may be. As you pray together, the Lord strengthens you. It's like a bonding, and the strengthening helps you to grow and mature with one another, and it helps you not to be so, hold on a second, let's other phone. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't want that in the background. So I would say consistency of being in the house of God, worshiping with other believers, taking time to just sit and have quiet times with the Lord and just sit and not say anything, just listen. Too many times we want to go to the Lord and we want to talk, but sometimes he just wants us to listen. He gave us two ears for a reason. And a lot of times we get so, well, Lord, I want to do this, Lord, I want to do that, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, well, I just want to tell you something. And so that's a tangible thing, because when we listen, we can find direction on which direction to go to get the help we need to grow and mature. And sometimes we have a hard time really hearing the voice of God, but we hear through the word. So when we're seeing the word of God and we're taking it into ourselves. And another thing that I've done is I take a scripture and I put my name in there, and it challenges me to grow to the level of what that scripture's saying, even if I'm not, have not arrived at that position yet. So different things like that, that, you know, just ask the Holy Spirit, what tangible thing can I use personally that will be effective with me? Now, me, I like to look at preachers on TV or preachers that, you know, and you have to be discerning, you know, if they're speaking the word and it's lining up with the word. But I get teaching on video clips on YouTube and different ones I respect and admire and want to learn from. And then I pray over it and say, Lord, okay, what does that mean to me? How does that apply to me? And that really strengthens me and encourages me. Oh, they've been through something. If they can do it, I can. And God uses those things to kind of inspire and challenge us to come to a higher level and just love the learning.
Amen, amen. Minister Simmons, bring up the rear. What are some tools that we can use? Amen.
Basically, what everyone said. However, I will add this. When you pray and you seek in God, like I said before, he will not withhold no good thing from us. But ultimately, fast. Because when we fast, we empty out in order for God to pour in. And I'm not talking about turn the TV off, no Facebook for 2 days, no cell phone till 6 p.m. I'm talking about denying this flesh. At one point, you know, I was fasting, doing absolutes for 3 days. And I was hearing from God like never before. Now it's like, oh, from midnight to 6 p.m. That ain't no sacrifice. But when we fast and we push our plates and we make these sacrifices, we're emptied of ourselves and everything, the sugar, the delusion, the coffee, everything that we put into our flesh on a day-to-day basis. When we fast, it allows the Spirit of God to pour into us. On that note, we get understandings and revelations like never before, and I'm sure every woman on this line can attest to this. I've encountered some good prophets, great prophets, and different ones and whatnot, but When I do it and it's alone and I'm fasting and I'm sacrificing and it's just in a secret place because, God, I'm desiring more of you. Some of us fast on behalf of our children. We've been on behalf of our finances. But when we do it because we're in search of him, it's a whole nother ball game. Because you're saying, God, less of me and more of you. I want to be mature. I want to be able to hold my mouth, as Pastor Rucker said. You know, I want to be able to discern. I want my character to line up. When we want all these things and we need help in our unbelief and all these different areas, the key ingredient on hiring God is fasting, because we got to get all the junk up out of us. That's how me, myself, have gotten things so misconstrued because, like I said, I learned a lot of things about pride that I didn't know I was operating in. But that revelation came through fasting. You know, we got to get humble. We can't be so tough. We got to be able to be quiet because God whispers. He don't do things loud, but earthquakes and storms and stuff. But I'm saying, but when he's speaking to us or when he speaks to me, I got to be in a dead silence. He told us in his word, study to show ourselves approved. We have to study, and I agree again with the ladies. We have to get in a good faith-based Bible teaching, a good Bible study. That's like partners who go work out to lose weight together. They set a goal together, or they stop smoking cigarettes together, or they stop, you know. It's good to pair up with somebody. But at the end of the day, we got to work out our soul salvation. And in doing that, we have to push our plate back. We have to empty ourselves out. And that's the key tool, because all the other ones been said already. That's the number one tool for me. Deny this flesh, because that's the way we go to higher heights and deeper depths. We have to deny this flesh. Crucify it daily. Paul, everybody said it. It got to die daily. So in order to go... Or that's our desire. He said he'll give us the desires of our hearts. If we desire to be mature, we desire to be these things in him, we got to get to a place where we can hear from him. And we do that through fasting. I mean, reading a lot of good literature. I have a lot, you know, and it's knowledgeable. But the best teacher is the master.
Amen.
And
amen.
It's revelation. The Holy Spirit convicts for whatever it is that's not lining up. So to go higher height and deeper depth, I would suggest a serious fast, not just no telephone, no TV, no Facebook. I'm talking about deny that flesh, empty out, and hear from God. Amen. I'm done.
Amen. Amen. On tonight, we talked about maturity in the kingdom, and also in relationships, which kind of spur from the kingdom, because we have to have relationships in order to be in Christ. And I thank the panelists for their own perspectives of what that looks like to them and how they've even walked through some of their process. So before we leave, I would like to ask Evangelist Fowler to pray for us, and we're going to get out of here. We thank every listener for joining us tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit has given you something to take with you and plant in the soil of your heart, that it would grow and produce 100-fold of a return of what he wants to produce in your life, and even in maturing you in some areas where you still need to be matured. I know that there are some areas where I still need some maturation. I still need to be matured because I'm not to the place that I need to be yet, and I can admit that. I'm the first person that can admit that in my life. And when we get to that place, we have yielded ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and he's able to bring us the things that we need. So he's bringing me some things right now, and I'm grateful for that, and I'm pretty sure my panelists are getting some things, and they're being matured as well. And even those that are listening and those that would listen to the replay, maturity is a process. The woman that was
40 years old 20 years ago has matured now that she's 60. There was some maturity that she's gained as she began to become more, as she began to progress in age. I don't like to use the word old. I like to use you mature. We mature as we grow in wisdom and knowledge, as we progress in our age. So there were some things, even now in our relationship with Christ, that we're maturing in. And in the next 5 years, I'll be able to look back on this and say, wow, I've come a long way. I'm mature in some areas that I had not known that God was working with me in. And that is our ultimate goal, is to allow the Spirit of God to mature us. Evangelist Fowler, if you would, can you pray us out, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your patience and your love and your discernment. And I thank you for your wisdom. And I thank you for these ladies on the panel sharing their hearts. And I thank you, Lord God, for the knowledge and the wisdom and direction that you've given and that we've received from them. I praise you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Rest upon us, Lord, and I pray you begin to grow those things within us, Lord, from this point forward, that will begin to mature even more, that the word of God will be implanted deep within our hearts and reach way down and deeply root it within us. Lord, I pray you'll strengthen, establish, and settle each one of us, that we can walk in the fruits of the Spirit and joy and love and peace and harmony and be strengthened and encouraged and trust you more. And Father, I just give you all the praise and glory, and I thank you for this opportunity that we've had to share and to learn from each other and to grow. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Again, we thank you for joining us tonight on Women of Wisdom and Power's broadcast. I have been your host, Prophetess Latoya Douglas, the assistant pastor of the ministry. We love you here at Faith Ambassadors, and we are excited about what God is doing in your life and in the lives of the people that are even partaking in this broadcast on tonight. We thank you for joining us tomorrow. Join us tomorrow for our School of the Prophets, or whatever God is leading for tomorrow night. Join us, because I'm sure that there will be something that the Lord wants to share with you. I thank you for being on this broadcast tonight. We love you, and we ask that you go in peace. In Jesus' name.
No one cares, no one.